Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 293.
This week on the podcast, we tune in for Bachelorette SCOTUS Edition's finale.
Plus, note to Head in Hands NATO meeting era John Kelly, you are literally the problem here.
And Trump gets a taste of his own medicine from royals and regular people alike.
Dianne Feinstein can't take a hint, and now it's like kind of sad.
And Paul Ryan apparently knows more about the destructive nature of woodchucks than his own constitutional powers.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live.
Hey guys, it's Lila, and this week Bren is out once again, so we have brought our very first ever podcast guest host, Grant Sloss, back to join me so that I don't have to talk to myself and or the wall.
So, what an honor. Hi guys.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
This is an exciting week, so I'm glad that I have someone to talk to about
Exciting as in everything is terrible.
Right.
Yet again.
Things only got worse this week.
Nope.
We are starting once again with Puerto Rico because we start every week with Puerto Rico.
Justice for Puerto Rico.
And they had a situation this week that was not even... So they have stopped reporting how many people are without power because for the most part it's between 1% and 3% of the population. It's like they're still not 100% power in Puerto Rico. Who knows if that will ever
They've
come back.
They've just decided they're never going to hit 100.
Right. There's just like some people that have lost power for good
for
we're
good.
Not talking about it. So instead now we have the drama with PREPA, which is their power utility company. It's in the process of privatizing. That's part of their...
Always a good idea.
Their major financial overhaul in Puerto Rico. It's in huge amounts of debt. It has declared bankruptcy. And it has now lost its CEO and multiple of its board members over a dispute about whether they should pay him $750,000 a year.
Yeah, how'd they end up in bankruptcy?
I mean, the math skills at PREPA were not, it turns out, super ideal.
Good. And the previous CEO resigned because there was controversy that his salary was $450,000.
Yeah. So
I guess they went the wrong way.
Right.
And correcting this.
They were like, apparently people are angry that he's not making enough.
He's not making enough. We need to double it. We're paying this guy.
Yeah. Get someone from GE in there. So they brought in an exec from GE, Rafael Diaz-Granados, who just started, by the way, this week. And then apparently what happened was the governor in Puerto Rico complained that he thought that the salary was too high for this position. And so instead of lower the salary or even discuss lowering the salary, enough board members resigned that they suddenly didn't have a quorum, and then he resigned, and now they're once again without a CEO.
Wow. Okay. So privatization.
It's working out well.
Way to go.
Working out well so far.
It always works.
Yeah. It's been sort of part of a longer struggle because this is like their fourth CEO in about 10 months or so.
Right. Since the... hurricane 10 months
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, but in the joint letter to Russello about resigning, the board member said that they were angry about the, quote, petty political interests of politicians. It's a public utility company still, by the way.
Jesus.
It's not private yet. And they said that he was putting the process at risk and the, you know, putting at risk the transformation of the Puerto Rican electricity sector. Here's a reminder that PREPA... has declared bankruptcy, as we said. They're $9 billion in debt. And they still haven't restored power to every customer.
What are they doing exactly?
Literally nothing except offering money to GE executives.
Right, they're literally just like reenacting scenes from the show Billions.
Yeah, basically.
And not actually doing any work.
And writing like petty political letters to the governor.
Right, they're just like, they're just like subtweeting each other.
Exactly.
Nastily. Until somebody, like, the next CEO is going to get, like, a $1.2 million
salary. Yeah, I feel like if it's going to keep going up this way, I will offer myself as the next CEO.
I will second that nomination.
1 month at that salary is enough for me. I'm happy to resign.
And you'll get that fucking power back on, too.
Yeah, exactly. I care about the 1% to 3%. I'm not as worried about the rest of this privatizing.
God.
I may not be good at privatizing the company. I'll be great at getting power back.
Did we not learn anything from like the whole Blackwater of Iraq? We really didn't, did we?
The answer is just a blanket no.
Just a blanket no.
We just didn't learn anything.
Nothing. Thanks, Eric Prince.
And we're using this as a way to just like relive as many bad decisions as possible in like an island where we're like, we can't actually like... pay attention to what's going on because they're like on an island and so no one's there to cover it.
Right. They've just decided that like that Puerto Rico is like some sort of heritage fund like case study sample that they can just like, let's just see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't really matter.
A little
if
Lord
they don't
of the Flies
have power or yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're on the in any case. exciting times in Puerto Rico. As always. And exciting times on in the larger...
In the mainland, too.
The mainland United States. Because Trump finally announced his SCOTUS nominee, but he did it in the most Trumpian possible way.
He loves this, by the way. Loves
Well, this is what he lives for. Good ratings is what he lives for.
If he could still be hosting The Apprentice and running the White House, he would.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm shocked that that hasn't come up yet.
I think we might get
there.
Because
I feel like that might be our future. This is essentially what he was doing.
Exactly.
Because he makes a big deal about how he was going to do the announcement in prime time and releases a list of finalists and then at the last minute adds someone to the list of finalists and then doesn't pick that person.
Right. It's like, it's that bachelorette move of like, there's two guys left, but wait, the third guy's coming back in a limo and he's confronting the bachelorette like on a rock face somewhere to say like, no, you're the, like, I'm the one for you.
Yeah. No, so he starts with three finalists, all of whom are absurd. And then the third, the next person, the sort of fourth guest finalist,
the wild card,
is sort of more moderate than the other three. But I think that was just to like test the waters and see where how his base was going to report on it.
Yeah.
Because then he ultimately chooses one of the most conservative options that he has. So here's. Here's who the finalists were.
Yeah, let's run them down.
There was Raymond Kethledge. He is on the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. He's been there for about a decade. He describes himself as an introvert, an outdoorsman. That was information that was available in every media story about him.
Like, what BuzzFeed quiz did he take that he decided he was an introvert?
Right, he's like IFPJ plus... He also has written
Swipe left, America.
I know. He's written a self-help book about the benefits of working in solitude as well.
Well, congratulations, because he's going to be doing that
for the rest of his life.
Time.
Exactly. Not a fan of abortion.
Surprise!
Not a huge fan of the Second Amendment.
Surprise!
He's exactly the guy that you would think.
Exactly.
The best option in terms of entertainment value was Amy Coney Barrett. She was only put there so that they couldn't accuse them of not considering a woman,
right.
Obviously. She just joined the 7th Court of Appeals less than a year ago. And... has no real qualifications for this job, other than the fact that she's maybe in a cult.
Wait, break that down for me.
So, she is affiliated with a charismatic Christian group called People of Praise.
Is that an actual term, charismatic?
That's an actual term, and it describes those, like, weird pseudo-cult-esque, pseudo-Christian groups where they, like, speak in tongues and whatever, but not the, like, large-scale speak in tongues, like, you know, evangelical movement.
Right.
These are, because she's a Catholic. So these are like, this is a group, People of Praise at least, is a group of about 1,700, mostly Catholic members. But they do stuff like faith healing and speaking in tongues. And apparently if you leave the group, they consider it essentially the same as adultery.
You're cheating on them.
Right, you're cheating on them.
I can't wait for the Netflix documentary on People of Praise.
She's the Michelle Bachmann of this group. And
I was going to say Bobby Jindal.
Oh yeah, sort of Bobby Jindal meets Michelle Bachmann. A little crazy eye in the Michelle Bachmann... you know, vain,
yeah.
But has a lot of the Bobby Jindal qualities
the faith healer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wow.
She's super duper Catholic, so we know what that means.
Like, so Catholic that she had to get, like, even more, like, she had to go to a subsect of Catholicism because the rest of, like, mainstream Catholicism wasn't Catholic enough.
Yeah, well, think about who the Pope is. Mainstream Catholicism is not Catholic enough
exactly,
for this woman.
Exactly, right. Mainstream Catholicism is helping poor people
right,
now, so they're like, no, thank you.
Right, she's like, I've got to get out there and faith heal my way
right,
through this.
Right, I got to go egg abortion clinics.
Exactly. So she was the second choice. Then there was Thomas Hardiman. He was the wild card fourth pick who,
right.
Once again, he was the runner-up to fill Scalia's seat. He did not get the job, and now he's been the runner-up to fill this seat.
Perennial bridesmaid,
Thomas
Hardiman.
The bridesmaid of SCOTUS. Fan of the death penalty.
Surprise.
Fan of he's not a fan of free speech, but a fan of the Second Amendment. All the
great,
things.
Cool.
You know? Yeah, exactly. People thought he would be a little bit more moderate than the others, though, potentially.
What were they basing that on?
I think it had to do with his likelihood to actually make decisive rulings on a lot of these issues
rather
that
than,
he...
like, dancing around.
Exactly. Okay. So, like, you know, Roberts is a fan of, like, slowly restricting your right to do something so you
right.
can't notice while it's happening.
Right.
Kennedy was a fan of doing that, but then sometimes just didn't agree with what they were restricting. And he seems like he's more in that... mold where he was less likely to be like the guy who made the decision about abortion or
right.
you know about Roe, more likely to be the guy who like quietly votes to restrict to allow states to impose unreasonable safety regulations.
Right, he's just
on abortion
turning up
clinics.
The boiler very slowly
exactly.
until you don't realize it's on fire.
And so later, of course, we find out that
none of these people matter.
None of these people matter because Trump already knew who he was going to pick from the start and just wanted to have a dramatic television announcement to make in primetime.
He wanted a rose ceremony.
And this was really like they have been eyeing the pick, Brett Kavanaugh, since before Kennedy retired. Like, this was part of their plan. Because they've been lobbying Kennedy to retire, like, super hard.
Which is crazy.
It's crazy that
It worked.
It's crazy that it worked. It's crazy that we think that that's an acceptable thing for the president to be doing. It's crazy the pageantry that went on, given that they already knew who person was going to be. And it's also crazy that he picked someone that W was forced to compliment, because it was a guy from his staff.
Right.
So Brett Kavanaugh, he's somebody who was appointed to the D.C. Court of Appeals by W. after serving as his staff secretary in his White House.
Right.
But he also had clerked for Kennedy. So he's a guy who has pretty impeccable pedigree.
He's a legacy hire.
He's a legacy hire. He's the kind of guy that you don't really have, who's known he's going to be in the public eye and has, because of that, has been careful about his personal life and careful about a lot of, you
it's
know.
That, it's this new breed of Supreme Court nominee that, like, has no opinion on anything ever.
Right.
That can't, because everything is subject to this crazy, like,
political process
of just, like, being grilled on C-SPAN for 3 days.
Exactly. So he has no positions on anything other than the clear positions he has on everything, because he's very conservative.
Right.
And he also, the most important note, I would say, is that he was one of the co-authors of the Starr Report.
Right.
So he basically, and then also,
well, I'd say the most important note is what came after the Starr.
Correct. Which, he apparently doesn't think that it is fair to impose a federal investigation on the president. Like, he doesn't think we should be able to investigate the president.
Right.
Despite the fact that he helped
he
write the Starr Report.
He investigated the president.
And about something super petty, too.
Right.
Like, not even a real thing.
Not something like colluding with a foreign government to rig an election.
Correct.
And ruin American democracy.
So, in any case, we know he's more conservative than Kennedy. He's ruled on a bunch of Obama-era environmental regulations. He's ruled on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Just
he has not ruled on those things correctly.
No.
But he also, it seems like it's not going to bode well for the Mueller investigation. So
right.
I think, what this is really about.
Agree. I think that statement that the president shouldn't be investigated is the strongest indicator of why he was chosen.
Also, just like a crazy statement on the surface of it. Like, if you really just think about what that means, that means that is the president really just allowed to break the law at any time in his life? Because Trump was not president when in the era he's being investigated for. So, like, this is a private citizen who has maybe decided to collude with a foreign power, and, like, we're not allowed to investigate that because he's the
president now? Right. We're literally saying he's above the law.
Right.
Which is the whole point. Things you say about dictators.
Exactly. The whole point of having a constitution is that no one is above the law.
Exactly.
I would argue, as a not Supreme Court justice,
but as
a private citizen who went to civics class.
Right, but as it turns out, our opinions don't matter on this.
And our understanding of civics didn't include us being taken over by a dictator, so we didn't know, you know?
Reality star turned dictator.
Exactly.
Thanks, Mark Burnett.
He's a genius choice for Trump, though, not only because of that, but because it's going to be hard to find fault with him.
Right.
And the method that they're trying to use to slow down this process is hilarious. First of all,
It's the most, like, the Democratic thing you can think of.
They're literally doing the exact thing that makes them lose in every circumstance.
Right.
So we all know that nominating Kavanaugh is like a weaselhead asshole move for the GOP. And especially because they do intend to vote on him before the new Congress takes office, if they can.
Of course.
So this whole thing is the most hypocritical thing that I can possibly imagine. Because remember the, like, full year where we couldn't vote on Merrick Garland because the people hadn't voted yet?
Right, because of that made-up bullshit excuse that Mitch McConnell made to
not... The American people haven't spoken.
Right. Never mind that Bush put in, was it Alito in his last year in office?
Yeah, I think it was Alito or, anyway, it was, he put in a justice.
There was like 5 minutes of conversation, and like Biden and Obama were both members of it, saying like, oh, maybe we should hold off on a vote until the election. They didn't do it.
No.
And then Mitch McConnell, 8 years later, was like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's just completely fuck up this process.
7 years later.
7 years
because
later. Because it wasn't
waited
8 years
a year.
Later.
He waited a full year on this. In any case, so that's infuriating.
Yeah.
And somehow we can't do anything about that. Like, we're all just sitting with our hands tied about that.
Right.
To be fair, they let that happen. I mean, the Democrats should not have cooperated.
How would they have gotten out of it, though?
I feel like there should have been a procedural way to hold up the last vote. I think they should have dealt with it with Gorsuch as opposed to this. Is like,
right, this is
at
a
this
delayed
point,
reaction.
We're just like in it now.
Right.
Like, we agreed that they could be hypocrites. At this point, we've agreed that the Republicans are just hypocrites, and that's cool. Like, before, we could have been like, don't be hypocrites.
Right.
Now it's like, we've accepted
we
you're hypocrites.
We had a principal argument with Gorsuch, and now it's like...
Right, and now it's like, oh, okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to look for paperwork.
Right.
Ways to
we're
stop
gonna
it.
We're going to bury them in bureaucracy.
Exactly. Basically, they're demanding like a ton of paperwork from his Bush-era White House
right.
role, and hoping that'll just slow everything down. But the thing is, the GOP and the White House have to kind of sign off on this method, and the only thing that's really going to stop them is the fact that people might be like, you didn't do your due diligence. But do these people care about due
no.
diligence? I mean, does Donald Trump care if we haven't properly vetted his SCOTUS pick?
If you asked Donald Trump what due diligence meant, he would just nod and say, of course, I love due diligence. Due diligence is so important. It's the most important thing.
And he would
and
not...
I'm the best at due diligence.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't know what it means.
He doesn't know what it means.
At all.
And I'm starting to feel like the Republican GOP is choosing not to know what it means.
Yes, they're...
Because they themselves have not been super strict on the due diligence front nope. since Trump took office.
They're enabling every dumb, ignorant thing he's
correct.
Thought.
And as our final story will point out, they don't seem to know their constitutional powers all that well.
No,
so they have
don't.
No incentive to find out how they could be doing their due
well,
diligence.
Well, listen, nothing is functioning the way it should
so let's
anyway.
Stop.
So, like, why,
why try?
Why know what your job is?
Exactly. So in any case... That would it requires that the Judiciary Committee, which is run by Republicans, agree to ask for these paperwork, this mountain of paperwork. It requires that the White House agree to give it to them.
Right.
It requires a lot of steps, and it requires them to agree to take the time to do this, which I think is the most important thing, because I think they're just going to be like, this isn't important.
Right.
And we don't have the paperwork. So or the documents. So
right.
how would we know what they say? We don't have a way of proving ahead of time that there's something suspicious in there.
Right. I mean, is there do you remember in Wisconsin when Scott Walker was trying to bust up unions when all of the Democrats in the state Senate just like left?
Well, that's what I was sort of like, we should take serious action.
Like
we
something,
should do something crazy.
Like something drastic is going to have to happen for them to stop this because otherwise it's just McConnell, if he has a procedural way to get out of something, he's going to get out of it.
Well, and even if he doesn't, he's just going to have the vote. They're going to have
right,
enough
exactly.
votes for right now because they're going to get someone terrible to vote for him.
Exactly.
In an effort to save procedure. You know, the excuse that's going to be used to vote for him is going to be about procedure.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So we're never going to know what procedure means in this conversation.
They're going to hail themselves as, like, savers of the republic when
yeah,
they get this
absolutely.
Through because they upheld... Because
Democrats were holding up the process
exactly.
and don't have a respect for procedure.
We are all being gaslit.
On
real, a daily basis.
Real hard. So in any case, there are some outside groups that have also requested this information on Freedom of Information Act requests.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. So there's a chance that ultimately we do see what we didn't end up doing as our due diligence, you know, what we didn't end up doing for due diligence
right.
about him. But he's going to be a justice by then. And it's not
going to
matter.
A year later, I don't know what that matters unless...
No.
Like, what could you find in that paperwork a year later that would be like,
Well, exactly. I mean, he knew it. He knew that he was going to be in a position
exactly.
like this
yeah.
of at least scrutiny.
He's been hedging.
At some point.
He's been hedging bets for like 15 years.
Exactly.
He knew this was.
And even at the announcement, there was like nothing that they could find fault with. He didn't announce any position on anything. You know, he
no,
was just like a
not.
Guy.
He brought his wife and two daughters
exactly.
up and talked about coaching their basketball teams and like.
Yeah.
And the next morning, there was like an op-ed in the Washington Post from one of his like carpool dads who was like, he's always so nice to my kids. And it's like,
like,
what does that have to do
first
with
of all,
anything?
Any Supreme Court justice should be someone who is nice to your kids.
Right.
They should just be reasonably nice people because living in a society and deciding what the rules of that society are includes having to be like a generally socialized
a
person.
Decent human being.
If he
right.
had murdered your kids.
I'd want to know about it.
I'd
read that op-ed.
Know about it. But I would contend that. That would be a larger problem with
right.
our vetting process than some White House paperwork.
But
you know?
Just yeah, but just like the argument that he should be on this, that you should give him a fair shot at the Supreme Court because
he's
like
nice
he
to
wasn't
your
an
kids.
Asshole in carpool. Like,
well, it's like have I had interactions with Trump supporters in the last year and a half where they have been nice to me? Sure,
sure.
I've had some Trumps. I mean, my parents live in upstate New York right now. We. Deal with Trump supporters all the time
right.
up there.
You see them in the wild all the time.
A lot of them are very community-minded. A lot of them are nice to you. If you're, like, you know, stuck in a rainstorm, they'll offer you a ride. They're yeah. not trying to murder their neighbors. They just have not thought about the larger consequences of how
right.
they are murdering their neighbors in the larger
They're
sense.
They're not trying to directly murder their neighbors.
Exactly. Right. Like, so the idea that, like, someone who's, like, a nice carpool dad can't be a terrible Supreme Court justice is insane.
It's completely
And the
insane.
Idea that we should give him a fair shot because he's a nice carpool dad is even more insane.
Yeah.
Those aren't the qualifications for being a Supreme
Please,
Court
yeah.
justice. In any case.
Heidi Heitkamp, don't read that op-ed. It will not
right.
help you.
Exactly.
Or Joe Manchin. Don't.
Right. Nobody, but they're going to read that op-ed. They're going to read the shit out
oh,
of that
I'm
op-ed.
Sure.
They're not going to be able to stop themselves from referencing that op-ed. It's going to be nonstop love fests for them.
Yeah, for the carpool dads and the basketball coaches, and they were city champions.
Manchin's been having a hard time staying on message. Like, he's vaguely kind of like been like, yeah, no, we need to look into who this guy is, but he hasn't been able to say anything strongly worded about it. And the Schumer method is going to be to lose. By the way. We know that Schumer's going to find a way to be in front of the camera as he loses, but he's going to have lost at the end of it. And there's I think that this is going to lead to a larger conversation about whether or not we should have these appointments for life anymore.
I agree.
I think that ultimately there has to be a decision made about that, because this is to give Donald Trump the power after they have sort of robbed the Democrats of the chance to use this power in equal measure, to give him the power to affect our legal precedents for 50 years to come, because these are young guys that he's appointing. These are not crotchety old people like Clinton appointed.
Yeah.
You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was old when she got on that court. Right. And now she's really old.
Now she's 80-something?
And now I'm kind of like actually furious at her for not resigning when Obama was president.
She
doesn't have to.
No proof that McConnell would have let
Well, I think that she should have done it like earlier. Like when the Democrats controlled something. Because
everybody should have just resigned in 2011.
Everyone who was not under the age of like 60 should have just resigned point.
Yeah, get new blood in here.
Exactly. Because now I'm like real worried about that
seat. Oh, God, I know.
She's in her late 80s, you guys. She is. She's Dianne Feinsteining around. And I no longer have patience for that method.
As we will get to later.
Exactly. But yeah, so in any case, I think we're going to have a discussion about whether the Supreme Court is functioning the way it should be at this moment.
I agree.
Because it turns out there's a lot of things that we didn't know we would have to have protection from. Like, did we think we'd have to have a law to prevent the president from separating migrant children from their parents? Who would think we'd need that?
Nobody saw any of this coming. The Founding Fathers did not see Donald Trump coming.
No.
We didn't see him coming, and we were there.
We saw some things happening in America that we should have paid attention to.
We should have paid a little more attention, and we should have taken seriously
how ridiculous a lot of people are. Yeah, exactly. But we didn't. And now we're not only paying the price in terms of our Supreme Court justices, we're also paying the price with NATO.
Oh, yeah.
Quick history lesson on NATO. NATO was literally founded so that the West could have some joint protection against Russia.
That's it.
It was a Cold War innovation.
Yes.
So the fact that things are happening the way they are with NATO is hilarious and concerning, because we literally have a Russian puppet, you might argue, in there trying
to... Some have argued on live national television.
Exactly. In there trying to destroy NATO from the inside, and that's Donald Trump.
Right.
So, a few things. The reason that not every country contributes the same amount to NATO has a lot to do with the size of their economies.
Right.
It's like how we don't all pay the same percentage in taxes.
Right. I still hear Steve Forbes running for president on a flat tax, and everybody's like, that's a crazy idea. And the same goes here.
Correct. The reason we don't ask every impoverished nation in NATO to equal our percentage of defense spending is because the whole reason we have NATO is to protect those countries from Russian interference or outside interference or any kind of anti-democratic interference, so that they don't then become the border that we have to deal with.
Right.
It's so that they don't become Mussolini.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's like, we do this to protect ourselves from idiots in Europe.
Right.
There are plenty of them. So
increasingly.
Increasingly more.
Plenty more of them every day.
Exactly. But so the idea that we would use a regressive taxation rate on NATO is insane. And that's why this Trump complaint that people aren't contributing their fair share to defense spending in NATO is bonkers town insane.
Well, and he also talks about it as if there's some pot of money that everybody's chipping into. And saying, Poland, you didn't put in for your share. And it's like, that's not how any of it
works.
That's
not how NATO works.
No.
So, and...
But that's how, it seems like that's how it was explained to him whenever he talks about
it. It was never explained to him, P.S.
Right, he got the bullet points.
He's explaining it to other people as if he knows what NATO is, but he's learned only bullet points based on his own
single-page PDB.
Exactly.
With pictures.
Right. And there's also, like, a larger problem with this, because one of the things that was a benefit to us about being involved in NATO was it gave us some ability to interfere in European affairs, which we are now losing.
Oh, yeah. We can't do it. any of that shit.
I don't trust Germany to do the right thing always, you know? Like, as much as I don't like it when we interfere in the foreign affairs of nations like in South America, I think they have the right to self-determination. We apparently have never felt that.
No,
we don't. I think that in Africa, people have the right to self-determination. No one in Europe or America has ever felt
that.
You know, the only place where maybe we've let them have the right to self-determination is in parts of Asia where there's countries with a billion people and we can't really do anything about it.
Exactly.
But so, I like... The idea that we are in this cooperative agreement with the other most powerful nations in the world kind of gives us all some perspective, I think. Yes. It gives Europe a chance to be like, hey, America, you're being idiots. It gives America a chance to be like, hey, Germany, or hey, whoever.
Hey Italy.
Pay attention.
Hey, yeah. Hey Europe. France, don't elect Marine Le Pen.
Right. Hey, England, don't Brexit.
Don't leave the fucking EU.
But we...
Here we are.
Here we are. Everything's in chaos.
Everything we just said.
And gone. Maybe the fact that we don't believe NATO is a thing anymore is contributing to the chaos over there.
Oh, my God.
They also had this weird meeting, very Trump style.
So good.
Where they did a meeting on camera for some reason. And during that meeting, Trump literally said the words, Germany, as far as I'm concerned, is a captive of Russia because it's getting so much energy from Russia.
This is classic him, though, because he did this during the election. Yeah. And, like... As all these rumors were mounting that he was colluding with Russia, he accuses Hillary Clinton of colluding with Russia. Like, whatever is thrown on him,
he
deflects onto the other person, but it's, no matter how ludicrous
it is. It's like an especially crazy thing to say to Angela Merkel, because she is literally East German. She was a Russian subject in her childhood. So, like, of all the things you can accuse her of, and listen, I have accused her of a lot of things.
Sure.
I've accused her of a lot of predatory behavior towards some of the poorer EU states. Like, plenty of things that a neoliberal, sort of, like, vaguely evil, you know, like, doesn't seem to ever turn over power German leader can be accused of. I'm not here to say she's perfect.
Nobody's here to say she's perfect. No.
I am here to say that she is probably very careful about her relationship with Russia, given that much of the country that she currently rules used to belong to Russia.
Right.
She herself speaks Russian, grew up a Russian subject, and understands the issues with the Soviet era
economy. Yeah, that maybe it's not a great thing to be enthralled to Russia.
Right. So of all people in Europe, I would believe that she is probably the most careful about her relationship with Russia. And also has the easiest time understanding what the hell is going on in Russia.
Right.
Because she was Russia at one point. So in any case, that's a crazy claim on its face.
A crazy claim.
But it's also a little mean.
It's mean, and it reminds me of, like, there's a story about Putin showing up to a meeting with Angela Merkel, and he had heard a story that she was attacked by a dog as a little girl, and so he brought a giant, like, Rottweiler into the room with her. It's this, like, strongman thing where you just show up and you just sort of, like, insult this woman out of the gate or try to scare her
and do it on camera
so everybody sees it,
and there's no,
and
like,
she just has to, like, sit there
and she, because she was trying to, I think, be restrained, suddenly all this media about how she's just letting him get away with everything emerged, and it was like, you guys, what is the benefit of her engaging in this?
No, yeah, she's not gonna flip a table.
No. And, like, why would she even want to give credence to the... Like, why argue vehemently against a claim that's that crazy? That's,
right. You can't fight crazy with crazy.
No. And that doesn't make you look good in Germany. No. And that's what she cares about.
Listen, as we saw from the Republican primary in 2016, like, you can't... If you sink to Trump's level, he's going to win because he's so good at it.
Yes, exactly.
Like, Marco Rubio tried.
There's only one person who can sink to his level and win, and that person is Maxine Waters.
Maxine.
And... because she's not running for president, we don't get the glory of watching her do it on the national stage the way we wish, you know? But, like, that's the only person who's ever successfully gotten him on his own level.
Right.
And the rest of you fools, certainly not a German person.
It's why he can't let her go, either. Like,
oh, exactly. Yeah. No, it's driving him bananas.
Right. He did give her a great nickname, though, in Mad Maxine.
Well, fair enough. So. And I feel like that nickname could be complimentary if we
100%
if we played
and
it correctly.
Will be once you put it on t-shirts.
Correct.
But the other great part of that, of this NATO breakfast where he decided to just take his dick out and put it on the table, was that John Kelly yet again was, like, seated next to him and just
can't control
in, like,
his
a
faces.
Curb Your Enthusiasm moment, just, like, sits there and puts his hand in his face, or face in his hand, and is like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
He makes, and it's on video this time. It's not like a, you know, like the last one, because it was at a UN meeting, he was in the audience, and the thing that got passed around was mostly a photograph, and you couldn't tie the visual to Trump speaking and him head in hand.
But this, everything was on there from the same angle, so you could see Trump saying it, and you could see Kelly reacting.
Yeah.
And you could just see, like, every life choice that led him here flashed before his eyes, and he's like, why did I do this?
And he deserves that.
100, yes. Oh, this is a prison of his own making.
How has he not resigned yet?
He, like, what's the over under? Like, when is he out?
It's got to be getting close. I feel like by election day, at least.
By midterms, right?
We're losing so many people from that White House anyway. Like, I think the only reason he stayed on at this point is because the chaos has sort of prevented them from having the mental energy to find a new possibility.
Yes. You know, well, like, I mean, and we've also heard rumors that Trump just doesn't want a chief of staff.
Right, and that is maybe one reason to keep the job forever.
Forever.
Just to protect
just
America.
Yeah, because I don't know what would happen if there wasn't at least somebody directing traffic in there.
I feel like maybe the same.
The same.
I feel like they'd be less effective at communicating it, so maybe less would get done.
Yeah, maybe. You know, which maybe is not the worst thing in the world.
Like, maybe Trump saying a crazy thing to himself and having no means to communicate that thing to the outside world is the best method here.
It might be.
Like, I don't know that we need a conduit for
him. Like, let him just turn into Howard Hughes and, like, sit in a dark room and tweet all day and, like,
have, like, crazy thoughts to himself.
Jars of urine just line up against the wall.
Because even if he tweets policy, if there's no one there to institute the policy, maybe the policy just doesn't exist.
Right. And I think in his mind, tweeting policy is, like,
is the whole job.
Makes it law. And so if we just let him think that.
Yeah. Why not?
Listen, he can play this video game version of America on Twitter all he wants.
Right.
As long as he's not ruining it in real life.
Happy to have him think that he's doing things.
Agreed.
As long as he is not doing those things.
Yes.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders came up with a hilarious excuse for why Kelly was making so many faces.
Chef's kiss to this response from Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Like,
yes. Apparently, it wasn't about Trump's bullshit. It was because, quote, he was displeased because he was expecting a full breakfast and there were only pastries and cheese.
Fuck off, lady. I'm sorry.
That's just like the most amazing nonsense thing to say. I don't know
if there is video of her releasing that statement or if that was just a written statement, but like I would love to see her face when she said it, because at this point she can't believe some of the stuff that's coming out of her mouth.
I literally just finished a book about propaganda in North Korea that I highly recommend. It was called See You Again in Pyongyang, and it's fascinating.
I will read that.
It's sort of like a memoir where this guy goes, but he's an art critic, and so he goes to North Korea and kind of like dissects all the like weird messaging there. And this is like pure North Korea gaslighting.
Yes.
Like they just say crazy shit there that's not true, and because you have no context there and everyone has been believing so much not true stuff from the get-go, it doesn't matter if things are true there.
Right.
You just have to believe them because that's the rule.
Right.
So you just do it.
You just, everybody officially believing that.
Right. And unofficially,
under your breath,
life goes on, you know?
Right.
And this is so like that. Where she, because she's in the storm, has to say a crazy thing and believe that people are going to just accept it.
Right.
But this is not North Korea.
No, this isn't.
It's way more chaotic here than North Korea.
And
the idea that they could think that they could rule this like North Korea with that kind of crazy gaslighting is insane. Like, first of all, at the very basis, everyone in North Korea is of the same ethnicity and from the same cultural background.
Right.
That's not ever been the case in America.
No.
So that kind of messaging is interpreted however people of their own context need to interpret it, regardless of how authoritarian you become. Like, I can't even. In any case.
Somebody get John Kelly a breakfast burrito and just...
Oh my God. And
calm him down.
Calm that. I mean, if he can keep that job with making those faces, I say keep doing it.
Right. Like, it is entertaining. And it's weirdly like... Like, relatable for the rest of us to be we're annoyed.
John Kelly
with this
is human
too. Yeah,
exactly.
John Kelly. We are all John Kelly sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, we're not all John Kelly all times because he's making some bad life choices.
My God, he is going to just age 20 years before the midterms.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Not sorry. Trump also continued his European tour by going on the world's most protested trip to England.
Wild.
It's been nothing but protests. They literally planned to dog him everywhere he went, and they have done
it.
And you guys, let's start doing that.
Why not?
We have so many more people than they do.
250,000 people marched in London to protest this guy.
He's not their president.
Like, what? How bad do you have to be at your job that you're being protested in a foreign country?
Yeah. He also managed to be insulting to the Queen multiple times.
Yes.
He fucked up the queen thing.
Didn't
there was
bow.
No...
Just sort of like gave her one of his weird like lizard brain Trump handshakes.
Right.
And one of her ladies in waiting did it back like she was Emmanuel Macron.
It's the most
like
fucking
iconic.
This is the first woman who's done this to him.
Right.
And it was as glorious as you would hope it would be.
It must have scrambled his brain.
I mean, it had to have. Because then he walked in front of the queen, which you're also not supposed to do.
Not supposed to do.
He
Sorry, but before, so like as disrespectful as he was to her, like there was a Daily Mail article. Piers Morgan interviewed him after the Queen, and I just wanted to read it for the absurdity.
Yes,
and like all Trump could say over and over was how beautiful she was. he kept saying what a lovely conversation it was, and she's so smart and just. And so sharp and beautiful. And I mean beautiful inside and out, Piers. It was... Everybody go read that Piers Morgan article. It is the most...
That's...
Like...
Everything.
The most obsequious, effusive nonsense you will ever read. Piers Morgan is, like, losing his mind over, like, Trump's personalized M&Ms and matchbooks. And Trump said, Trump calls Queen Elizabeth beautiful 30 times. It's exactly what you want from the Daily Mail. But...
Oh, man. I love that. And that's also hilarious because so far, everything else he said in Britain has been insulting someone or about the blimp.
Yeah. we need to make sure we clarify, explain the blimp.
So the British in their...
Infinite wisdom.
Started flying a blimp that is Donald Trump dressed as a pouting baby holding a cell phone. It's been fantastic. Dogging him everywhere. It's been everywhere he's been.
An angry orange baby in a diaper holding a smartphone.
It's a beautiful blimp in many ways, like the Queen.
It's gonna that thing is gonna be licensed out the ass. Like, there's gonna be
we're gonna have a blimp soon. I mean, the U.S. is gonna have a blimp.
Absolutely.
It took the British to come up with this blimp because the British are better at this.
I love them.
They're better at insulting
people.
They're
better trolls. Yeah,
they're better trolls. They always have been. Their Twitter presence has been on point this entire visit too. They have come up with so many inventive insults for Donald Trump that all involve the idea of calling him like a orange-hued fuck weasel or things like that. It's like everywhere on Twitter, there's an inventive insult for Donald Trump right now.
British curse words are fantastic. Like, they just roll off the tongue.
And they're so much better at coming up with like combo insults, like combined insults. Like they really go for like an extended insult.
Right.
Where they hit upon every aspect of your
character. Like they're nasty, but they're also letting you know they're smarter than you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that has been everywhere. The blimp is about to be everywhere. If I could get a t-shirt of the blimp sent to me right now, I would pay upwards of $1 million for that.
Like, if the World Cup were not in Russia this year, that blimp would have been flying over the World Cup.
For sure.
For sure.
I mean, I am excited for the blimp to be flying over numerous sporting events in the United States
very
soon.
Yes, football season is very near.
Exactly.
Lots of kneeling, lots of blimps.
I mean, if football knows what's good for it. If football wants viewers. But he also found a way to insult Theresa May while he was there.
Oh, like,
Theresa May, by the way, the most, like... sort of similar to him.
Yes.
Like, that's his only friend there.
Yeah.
Don't insult her.
But yeah, it's his only friend, but she's a woman.
Yeah, no,
so
it's hard.
Like,
he can't be friends with her.
He's not going to be nice to her.
No.
Because he doesn't want to sleep with her.
Right, and she doesn't deserve it.
No.
With her woman brain, you know?
Yep. She shouldn't be leading things.
He's mad that she's not doing Brexit right, basically. As if he would be the expert on how to do Brexit right.
Right, and his expert opinion is, quote, deals that take too long are never good ones.
Mm-hmm.
How would he know? How would he know what a good deal looks like?
He wouldn't.
He wouldn't.
He's never had one.
He has no idea.
Never made one. And the idea that the quicker you do a deal, the better the deal is like used car dealer logic.
It is.
And as someone who's been shopping for a car, I can tell you it doesn't work.
No.
I've walked away from a lot of dealerships over an attempt to do a quick deal.
I would love to walk away from this deal that we have as Americans, and yet...
Can't. But he's talking about... Maybe we should renegotiate our trade deals with Britain because they're doing this EU, this Brexit deal wrong.
The soft Brexit.
The soft Brexit. He's also been kind of lending some credence to Boris Johnson, just resigned from his post, and I think is about to try to take over to take Theresa May's job.
Yeah.
And he's been praising Boris Johnson. He's been criticizing Theresa May. It seems like an under-the-table deal was struck.
He's been criticizing Theresa May in newspaper interviews. And then when he's with her, says they're best friends.
He's afraid of people.
Yes.
He doesn't
afraid of actual, like, face-to-face conflict. He's terrible at it.
Remember when he sat down with Obama for the first time?
Yes.
And he talked about how lovely he was?
That was a glowing review of Barack Obama.
Yeah.
He was like, he's such a good man.
Right.
He's so smart.
He's afraid of people in person.
Yes.
And by the way, this is why he's terrible at deals.
Right.
You can't be afraid of everyone and be good at deals.
Right.
That's not how deal making works. If you're wondering why people who become agents seem like they might be the worst people, it's...
I love this pivot. Go on.
It's because deal making is their job.
Yes.
They have to be mean to make deals, which is their only job.
That's it.
They're not curing cancer over there. No. They're making deals.
No, they're just being nasty.
They're literally deal makers.
Playing hardball.
Yeah.
And he's not doing that.
He can't do that.
He
wants to be loved. He can't be loved.
He's an internet troll. Like, he's really mean online, and then in person, he's like, oh, no, we're great.
Because he loves being loved, and you can't be... Being loved in person involves you being nice to people. Online, there's no real people.
No.
So you can be a troll. That's easy.
Exactly.
But in person...
And people can love you for being nasty online.
Exactly. But yeah, it's... The whole visit to Britain has been nothing but trouble for him.
Crazy.
Hilariously, the princes did not show up.
Yes, Charles and Will were both like...
Snubbed him.
Hard pass.
Yeah. Which I think... I mean, they had to make some choices at the royal wedding about who they couldn't invite so that they didn't have to invite Trump.
Right.
And so those guys couldn't be seen with him.
No. After that, I don't even think they needed that reason to snub him. But like... but I do... Yeah, I love that the cast of a USA legal procedural got to go to the royal wedding and the president of the United States didn't.
I know.
I think that's just... It's right. It's fair.
It's right for this moment. But Trump has basically been uniformly awful to both Angela Merkel and Theresa May on this visit, which has led people to speculate that maybe he just doesn't like women very much.
He might not like women, guys.
British press has been really...
They're on top of it.
On top of it. And so apparently we're now coming to the realization.
Surprise, he's a giant misogynist.
He's not nice to female leaders.
And one of the... It's funny, they interviewed... This was a Washington Post article. They interviewed, like... An analyst, and I'm making the biggest air quotes my hands can make, said that, like, the reason he doesn't like them is because these, like, women are, like, less willing to bow to his ego than, like, Shinzo Abe or
Macron.
Who were just, like...
Played the game a little.
Just decided to, like, play the game with him, and these women are like, no.
Yeah, well, they can't.
No.
There is no option for a woman to play the game with him. He's not nice to women.
He doesn't believe women deserve to be in the
exactly.
game.
There's no option. Another hilarious Sarah Sanders moment, however, is that she insisted that, because she was asked about this, she insisted that he has a good relationship with both of them, with both Angela Merkel and Theresa May, because she noted that in Brussels, he gave Merkel, quote, a huge hug, kissed both her cheeks, and announced to everyone that he loves her. Solved. Okay,
problem
then.
Problem solved. Also, you'll note that he announced that he loves her. He never said that Merkel...
Loves
like
him back. Also, if loving her is just about basically sexually assaulting her, then he's in, you know? I mean, God. I'm not surprised to hear that he was able to kiss her and hug her.
God, we long for the days when that, like, awkward shoulder rub that George W. Bush gave her was the worst thing we had to worry about.
At least he wasn't trying to harass her.
He wasn't putting his mouth on her.
No, exactly.
Ugh.
I'm happy to have any male politician be too afraid to hug me.
Yes.
That's a thing. I want to just put that out there. If you're a male politician and we meet... I'll shake your hand.
Solid handshake.
But if you think to yourself, oh, I'd like to hug her, but I'm uncomfortable, that's the right thought.
That's the right feeling.
Go with that.
Yeah.
Be too uncomfortable to hug me. We shouldn't hug.
And we're not in Europe, so don't...
Don't kiss my cheeks.
Yeah,
exactly.
Leave it alone.
I've never hugged a female politician. I don't know why that would come up with male politicians. So, in any case, that's just a thought for me to everyone. It's a message for me to everyone. And now we move on to California politics.
Where
something exciting has happened.
Yes.
You guys... The California Democrats did something I didn't know they were capable of doing.
No.
And made a good decision.
They did.
And they endorsed Kevin DeLeon in the Senate race.
Listen, we're back to, and this is going to sound ageist, but Dianne Feinstein is 85 years old.
Yeah, she's too old, you
she's
guys.
She's 85.
She's going to be 90 when this term ends.
Yes. Like, let a younger candidate, let a more youthful ideas.
Let a progressive person who actually represents modern day California.
Yes.
Let that person in.
That's it.
And the California Democrats, oddly, agreed.
Agreed.
Who knew? They have really been stepping up. I feel like they're in shambles, as are all Democratic parties everywhere.
Yes.
But I feel like even though they didn't endorse during the primaries, which I can understand.
I think that's fine, actually.
I was expecting them to chicken out of this. I was expecting them to not, because it's a race. It's a general election race between two Democrats. One being the world's oldest and longest serving Democrat, and one being a new guy that a lot of people haven't heard of.
Right.
But they've heard of him.
But like the people who have heard of him are excited about him.
Correct.
Whereas everybody who's heard of her just heard of her because she's like an institution.
Exactly. And I thought they were going to bow out of this, and she tried to make them guilty for doing it.
Fully.
And they made the right choice.
Right. She went in, like, she was like actively pushing for people to not endorse at all. In the name of party unity.
Yeah, which is what you would say if you were definitely going to win on name recognition.
Exactly.
But yeah, so in any case, Kevin DeLeon, meanwhile, was urging the Senate Democrats to shut the Senate down and never allow this individual to come to the Senate floor.
Yeah, he's like, if I was in the Senate, Brett Kavanaugh would never.
No, oh, yeah, this was about Kavanaugh. Sorry, I didn't mention that.
No. But like, that's.
Yeah, so he's already taking a hard line on the issues that Feinstein's definitely not.
No, Feinstein's reaction was that she leads that committee that's going to oversee that hearing. Or that she is the ranking Democrat on it, and her plan was that they are going to review over 1 million pieces of paper of Kavanaugh's past.
She's using the Schumer method.
Yes.
But also, a lot of people are like, oh, we've got to keep Feinstein because she's the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee. Here's a thing, you guys. A, if she's not willing to take strong action, we don't care. B, the ranking Democrat will still be a Democrat when it's not her.
Right.
It's like, it's not like the job goes to a Republican.
Right.
It's the ranking. She's not even ahead of the committee.
We're not just like twirling like a bingo.
Right. California doesn't need to have the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee. No, if the committee was like the Committee for California State Rights, then that would be a committee we maybe want to keep her in charge of. But we're talking about a committee that is not California's not responsible for the whole judiciary.
No.
Democrats should be on that committee.
And you would want a Democrat on there that's actually going to do something. I just don't think she's got.
She's not that Democrat.
No.
And we as Californians are keeping ourselves locked into a situation where a person who never does anything is in the. It is our civic responsibility to get rid of her.
Listen, the only thing that I can attribute to Dianne Feinstein in like during the Trump administration was that there was that photo of her leaving a briefing on all of the Russia stuff, like right after the election, and all the reports were like Dianne Feinstein looks like all the blood drained from her face and she looked ashen, and it's like what was her reaction to that? Like she looked like she'd seen a ghost. I'm like, okay, well what did she do? And I don't feel like anything.
Nothing.
And so like that's my only association with her since Trump came in power. So I'm wondering why should I be voting for her.
Her like major issue is an assault rifle ban that has a sunset provision. That perfectly encompasses Dianne Feinstein. She voted for the Patriot Act. She voted for the Iraq War. She has never been a good shepherd for our values as California currently stands. And her one standout piece of legislation is the most minor piece of gun control that we could ask for.
That has a sunset provision.
And it has a sunset provision. That's her landmark success.
Yeah.
Okay. So, enough.
Listen, the California Democratic Party did the right thing.
I would rather have a sassy younger person in there, like we've had with Kamala Harris, saying the things.
Yes.
You know? I would rather have someone saying the things.
Yeah.
It's like, it's enough. In any case.
She's still, by the way, like, way ahead of De Leon in polling.
I know. Yeah. Because how could she not be?
Exactly.
No one's heard of him.
Well, but the good news is that this endorsement means that, like, he'll be included on party mailers and like he can.
And also, it means that he, with having progressive voters going to the polls for Newsom, I feel like it's a good, like it's going to be good because it's going to seem like progressive voters need to turn out because they're going to be excited to vote, and moderate voters are going to be the ones that are going to be like, eh. But also, everyone should vote.
Everyone should turn out.
And if everyone voted, I bet that progressive voters would still outnumber everyone.
I agree.
So, just a thought.
Just thought.
In final news. Paul Ryan had a bad week.
He really...
First he got slammed because he is evidently... He's never heard of the veto. Never heard of the congressional veto. He was asked by reporters if he would introduce a bill to scale back the tariffs. Because
the tariffs are idiotic.
Destroying the economy already.
So stupid.
And he was like... You'd have to pass a law saying don't raise the tariffs, and the president wouldn't have to sign that law. Yeah, he would have to veto the law, and then you could override that veto.
Right, and then you'd have to whip a vote to override override a veto.
That's possible, you guys.
I dare you.
Yeah.
He won't.
He won't. Of course not. But he's like, it's like he's conveniently forgotten that he does have the power to do something.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to do something.
Right.
So keep that in mind, you guys.
He's constantly acting like he doesn't know what he's talking about, and or you know the
right,
last
doesn't know if
he'll
can...
ask him about a terrible thing Trump said. He's like, oh, I didn't hear it, I didn't see the clip, or I didn't read the actual quote, so I can't comment. He's like forever just no commenting on things. He should have left Congress as soon as Trump was elected.
He's been in the dark for years at this point, you guys. He's not aware of what's going on. He has apparently no power to stop it, even though he does have literal power to stop it.
He's one of the only people that has power to stop it. And I, honestly, I would say go home, except home doesn't sound like it's so safe anymore either.
No. Not if these woodchucks have anything to say about it. Apparently, also this week, a family of woodchucks ate his Chevy Suburban.
Just ate the car.
Car's dead. Brings the car to the mechanic. A family of woodchucks is living in it, has been eating the engine.
So, yeah, to clarify, this was not, this was at his home back in, I think, Janesville, Wisconsin.
Yes, this is in Wisconsin.
And, which he's just, like, probably never, hasn't been in, no. in months now.
And long enough that a family of woodchucks has moved into his car.
He moved into the undercarriage of his car and just ate everything. Because his mom would go out and start it every month just to make sure it still ran. And sure. she tried, didn't work. Turned out.
Woodchucks.
He's, like, they're, like.
Freeloading woodchucks.
Pixar, there is your next movie.
The woodchucks
please,
that
these, like,
saved America.
These, like, democratic socialist woodchucks decided to just fuck with Paul Ryan's car. I love it.
He, if anyone has ever deserved a woodchuck family living in their car.
It's Paul Ryan.
It's Paul Ryan. So, yep. I mean, these are the smartest woodchucks currently in the, there's a lot of woodchucks there causing damage elsewhere.
There are still strong Wisconsinites willing to do the right thing, and they just happen to be woodchucks.
Right. They don't have the right to vote, but they have the right to eat your car.
Right. They're using the method, the levers of power that they have.
Correct. And that's all we can ask.
That's all we can ask.
So that's the news this week. Whew. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thank
so
you for really having fun. Me.
This was really fun. And we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks when either Brent or me and a new guest host, or maybe me and Brent again.
Maybe I'll be back. Maybe back none of us will be here.
Right.
Because the world might be over.
We can't know what's going to happen. But we'll hopefully see you then.
2 weeks. Bye, guys.